It's time for Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Laker Hockey Talk is brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. And now with Laker Hockey Talk, here's the voice of the Lakers, Bill Crawford, on ESPN 1400.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is Bill Crawford along with Damon Whitten, the head coach of the Laker hockey team. And this week, as we always do, we'll preview what's coming up. That'll be our foremost project. And the team's heading for Denver. We're pre-recording this on Wednesday because the team's leaving at about 4:30 in the morning from Sault Ste. Marie, heading for Detroit to fly to Denver. And Damon, let's talk a little bit about the Pioneers, the defending national champions. They're ranked number one in all the informal polls that are out right now. They just beat Notre Dame last weekend, played to a tie and a win at Notre Dame. They're going to be a tough team, but it's a great test.
Well, there's a reason they're ranked number one, you know, deservedly so. There was some potential departures in the offseason, you know, including Jim Montgomery, their head coach, who was very involved in the Florida Panthers job in the NHL, among others. And I think as soon as Jim decided that he was going to return to Denver, a lot of their top players all decided they'd be staying as well. So they were able to retain, quite a bit of their players. Notable departures, Will Butcher, who's running the power play with the New Jersey Devils, played very well last night. And I think he might be leading the NHL, certainly among rookie scorers, but right up among league leaders as well. So a big loss there. But they just simply reloaded, returned a lot. All-American goaltender in Gillette, Troy Terry, Dylan Gambrell. Just a very, very formidable opponent and a real excitement from our team. You know, it's a great challenge, a great opportunity, and we're looking forward to getting out there and, making the trip out there, playing a great opponent in a good venue. This makes you better, and it's a business trip for us. We want to go win a hockey game starting Friday night.
Yeah, we should tell everybody listening, too, that we will be carrying the games live right here on one of our stations, 99.5 YesFM. We'll have the game, but there will be no stream on YesFM.com because the broadcast rights belong to the University of Denver. We're not making this trip. Their broadcast crew will be doing both games. We will have it on radio only, and if you're interested in a stream or in watching it on TV, you'd have to pay the money there as you usually do and watch the University of Denver, or at least Denver University. It's not University of Denver. We'll try to keep that straight, too. It's DU. But this is a really good hockey team. They do a lot of things well out there. They've got some people, former Lakers, involved with their program. I know Nick Meldrum is their equipment manager, and Nick was with the Lakers for two seasons when he was a student here back, maybe 10 years ago now. Rick Mick's been involved, our former trainer with their program out at Denver, and they are very proud of that program out there, and rightfully so. They're a darn good hockey team.
Well, they have been, from a transition from George Gwozdecki into Jim Montgomery, a top three, certainly a top five program nationally for many years, and tremendous resources. You're obviously in a great city, extremely competitive, very, very skilled. So it'll be interesting. It'll be a little bit different feel, I think, the game this weekend. They can definitely overwhelm you offensively with the things they do. There's some similarities in terms of style of play between ourselves, so I think we've got a little bit of a feel for what we'll see. But again, this will be a marquee matchup, and again, our players are really looking forward to the challenge. We'll see where we're at, but we've got to go in and play at an extremely high level and have great execution in order to give ourselves a chance for success out there.
Well, you look at you don't want to make excuses for anything in advance, but it's a tough trip for the Lakers too. You got to get up early and get on a bus and drive all the way to Detroit and then go through the rigmarole with everything that it takes to get on an airplane these days and fly to Denver. And that's not really a long flight. I've made that a few times, but it still takes a lot out of you. And then you got to get ready. You'll practice on Thursday afternoon and probably try to get to bed as early as you can. But you're looking at a two-hour time difference, too. That game's going to start at 9 o'clock on Friday night, 7 o'clock out there. And all those things add into it, making it a little bit tougher for Lake Superior State.
Yeah, I think the real positive is our first chance to get on the road as a team. Obviously just a bus trip over to Northern Michigan. So we finally get to kind of circle the troops and get on the road and really just be about hockey for a couple days. You get to take care of your classes before we leave and, really just a singular focus on the way out there. So I think for us it'll be a real healthy thing for our program at this point to learn what we're all about. Like you said, to go through some of those obstacles, you know, for the goals where we want to be, WCHA tournament-wise, NCAA tournament-wise, you know, this is what it's like. It's this kind of travel and opponents and things like that. So, again, just a great opportunity. You know, you want to play in games like this. You want to play the top teams in the country. You want to go into great venues. So we're going to embrace the challenge of all those things you mentioned and, you know, go out there to put our best foot forward. And, you know, not a lot of people will be picking Lake State to pick up a victory this weekend. But, that again, Friday night's our singular focus. Friday night, the first 20 minutes, we want to be ready to play. And that'll be our sole focus here over the next few days here.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this is the home opener for Denver, too. Denver University will be celebrating the fact that won a national championship last year. They'll be raising a banner or at least pointing to a banner in the building. And that's not going to hurt the Lakers either. They've got a few banners hanging in their arena, and they'll like being part of that.
Yeah, I think it'll be nice for our guys to see, you know, obviously the Northern Michigan ceremony, to see the history of college hockey with Coach Comley being honored there. And, you know, here's another big historic moment to see, you know, what it takes to win that banner and what those guys put into it. So I think that'll be a healthy thing for our team. You know, obviously those of you who've kind of followed some of our summer, we've got a new wall up in our locker room that, you know, celebrates our national championship. So our program is very familiar with that. And, you know, we'll use that to kind of motivate our guys. You know, hopefully they're a little bit starstruck, Denver, on that night. And, you know, catch them off guard, hopefully a little bit there. You know, we'll take any advantage we can get in the series. But it'll be a nice moment to be part of. And then, you know, to drop that puck Friday night, again, we've got to be ready to play.
Some coaching work to be done, too, between now and the time you leave. You're going to have to decide what 22 guys are going to make this trip. That's not always easy. You've had a lot of players in and out of the lineup. Do you have any injuries right now that might leave somebody back?
No, I think we're healthy there for the most part. Again, we, you know, with flights being what they are these days, we've got a pretty good feel, and even going back to booking them a couple name changes to make sure we're good to go, or who's going to go there. But, you know, you got to skate. This is a team with skill and pace. So, again, we'll look at, you know, putting our best skating team forward, guys who can play at that pace and match that pace. So that'll be a big part of what we're going to do. But, again, you know, there hasn't been a ton of changes. There's been a fairly consistent lineup for us, and it won't change too much from that, but a couple of hard decisions for sure.
Yeah, last weekend I think Merrick's mittens made it a little bit tougher too. He played so well Saturday night. I would think he'll figure in on things this weekend for sure. Nick Kossoff's the veteran. He's been playing and he's done a pretty good job for you. So goaltending, probably those two will make this trip. And you got Kuglietta's line and Henke's line. And how about Henke? Let's talk a little bit about him and the rest of the team this past weekend. A lot of people talking about what a great series that was. You suffer a 4-3 loss, you tie 2-2 and get a point on Saturday night with a very good Michigan Tech team. JT Henke's named Offensive Player of the Week in the league for a goal and 4 assist performance. And then Mittens winds up as one of your Rookie of the Week candidates. He finished runner-up in that to the young man from Bowling Green.
Yeah, no, a couple of strong individual performances. And like you said, I mean, it's been funny going around town. You know, I know people really enjoyed the series. It was, you know, a ton of pace, great compete level. So I thought it was a great showcase for college hockey and what a great brand it is. You know, people have been saying, oh, what a great weekend, great games. And I've got to be quick to correct them that it wasn't great because we didn't win 2 hockey games. You know, then it's great from a coaching point of view. But certainly, you know, I'm glad that the people who made it to the games, it was a great crowds, and we appreciate that support. But glad people, you know, enjoyed it. They saw the compete level, the pace, all those things. But, you know, we're here to win hockey games. So we fell short of being great, but an entertaining weekend for sure. JT Henke led the way as we need him to and as we expect him to do. We challenged him a little bit after Northern Michigan to play a little bit more of a complete game, you know, being a little bit heavier on pucks, being a little bit better attention to detail defensively. And he came out and did that in spades. He had a tremendous weekend. You know, it was instrumental. And I think every goal we scored this weekend, a big part of that. So, you know, we're going to need that effort for JT this weekend. And moving forward, along with his line mates there, it was Nellis and Nenendahl on the weekend, and those guys did a great job. You mentioned Merrick's Mittens had, a real strong game on Saturday night, and you know, really amped up the competition for the starting goaltender position. But Merrick's, you know, he's been involved a lot of big games, a lot of big moments in his career as a Latvian World Junior goaltender. So, you know, like you said, those two will travel, and my guess is we'll have some kind of a rotation where they'll both get some time this weekend and, you know, continue to evaluate that before we get back into WCHA play in a couple of weeks.
All hands on deck with the coaching staff this weekend, or all three coaches going to make this trip?
You know what? Just Rich and I will go. Mike's going to get a real short recruiting trip in. You know, they're expecting a baby pretty soon here. So we want to make sure he's close to home and within distance to get back quickly as needed for Amy and his daughter Ivy. So, you know, we'll be welcoming a new Laker member to the Laker family here soon with their expected birth of a baby boy here in the next few days or next week or so.
Yeah, and that's that's very good, and that's important stuff. Mike York will stay back, and you and Rich Mitro can handle this job, and next weekend we go to Michigan State. So another tough test and another good non-conference test. Bowling Green just split with Michigan State. Lakers beat them twice up here last year. I'm sure Danton Cole will have his guys remembering that series up here.
Well, seeing a lot of coaching changes early on, you know, all the coaching changes that went on this offseason, we've already seen Northern, we've already seen Michigan Tech, obviously Michigan State with the change of Danton Cole. So it's interesting. A lot of years, there's not a lot of changes between teams when they don't go through a coaching change, but now we've seen some different style of plays, and Denver, will bring some different things. And then we haven't watched much Michigan State yet, but hopefully we'll do a video exchange and get prepared for them as it's coming up. Obviously, you know, we have ties down there between Mike and I to have a pulse on what's going on down there. But, you know, a good win for them on Saturday night, and that'll be a good competition again there. It's always fun. I know for those listening, we do have you know, an alumni gathering out in Denver. I believe we have one in East Lansing as well in a couple of weeks. So go to our social media pages if you're going to be in Denver. We have any alum that come across this stream or podcast. We are meeting before the game out in Denver and again in East Lansing. So a great way to travel around and say hi to some alumni and hear their stories about Lake State.
Well, it'll be very good this weekend at Denver, and then in 2 weeks' time, less than 2 weeks, really, down to Michigan State before you come home against Alaska Anchorage. Kind of a weird schedule this year. We started out at home, then we go on the road for quite a bit, and then we have quite a few home games in the months of November and December. And even in January, we're at home quite a bit. And then February, we're not home at all. So it's a weird schedule.
It is, you know, and that's why we've got to be ready to play, you know, especially those WCHA league points. When we get back home and have home league games, you know, we have to make some hay there and take advantage of that unbalanced slate. You mentioned the February, a little bit of a weird scheduling change. I tried to work with coaches to make some changes to kind of balance that out, but nobody was able to make it work. You know, there is a bye week in there, so it's not all straight on the road. But that'll be an interesting finish to the season, and we want to make sure we're putting ourselves in a great position leading into that wrapping up month in February, where we go to Bemidji, to Anchorage, bye week at Ferris. So you know, we've got to be good, we've got to be ready, and this weekend, the Tech weekend, all these things prepare us for WCHA play, but that's still a few weeks off. You know, we've got to go out and win a hockey game at Denver.
Alrighty, we're going to take a break here on Laker Hockey Talk this morning, and we'll be right back with more after this.
Everybody knows that H&R Block is the premier tax preparation group in the nation, but did you know that H&R Block offers year-round bookkeeping and business services that will help your small business cut costs, make profits, and streamline the business end of operations? From payroll and bookkeeping to expert tax prep and advice, see the friendly folks at H&R Block on I-75 Business Spur in the Michigan Sioux. Call 635-5970. Put H&R Block to work on your small business. You'll be glad you did. H&R Block wishes the Hockey Lakers success in 2017-18.
Hi, this is Scott from Parker Ace Hardware. At Ace, we make painting a simple pleasure. Ask one of our friendly, knowledgeable Ace associates about our Ace Royal Paint, a high-quality paint at a price you'll love. You'll find Ace Royal Paint starting at an everyday low price of just $19.99 a gallon. It's another reason why, from a simple start to a fabulous finish, Parker Ace can help make your next painting project perfect. Parker Ace, the helpful place. Stop by Parker Ace Hardware. We're looking forward to serving you real soon.
Stop by Parker Ace Hardware at 819 Ashman, downtown Sioux, Michigan.
And now back to Coach Witten and Bill Crawford for more Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
Welcome back to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford and Damon Witten sitting in talking about Laker hockey. Damon, let's reflect back a little bit on the series against Michigan Tech. It was entertaining hockey. We know that. The coaching staff's not real happy because there wasn't a win involved there. Certainly could have been, though. And I think that's a big difference. So Michigan Tech's kind of had its way with the Lakers the last couple of seasons. And you played stride for stride with him in both games this weekend. 4-3 loss on Friday, 2-2 tie on Saturday. Shootout loss there, but very, very entertaining. And we saw something we haven't seen very much of, the 5-minute 5-on-5 overtime, the 5-minute 3-on-3 overtime, and then a shootout that went four shooters deep before it was done. It was a very long night on Saturday, but good experience for the fans and probably a good experience for the players.
Yeah, you know, and I think the only way to highlight it would have been a win, whether an overtime or, you know, regulation overtime or shootout. I thought the roof was about to come off there, and had we got that goal, I think it would have. So again, great crowds and you know, great weekend in terms of that regards. But yeah, you know what, like you said, we've closed the gap in some ways. You know, going back to playoffs last year, it wasn't an evenly matched teams. I think it was 2-6 if I remember correctly, in terms of or 2-7 I guess it would have been, you know, in terms of the playoff seedings there. But you know, we got outclassed, outplayed on that weekend. And you know, just like some other teams, you know, that's a team we've been chasing. We're trying to get to where they're at among the top standings, an NCAA tournament team. So, you know, we've closed the gap. We're playing more evenly with them. Our pace is matching them. You know, anybody who listened on Tuesday to the talk show, to the radio show there, I thought we were way too – we gave them way too much easy offense, and it wasn't so much in our D-zone coverage. I thought we did a pretty good job limiting them that way, but their rush play really got us, and part of that was their team speed, but really a lot of it was poor puck management and our forwards playing on the wrong side of pucks. We were kind of cheating to offense way too often. It led to some easy offense and some odd man rushes. I thought both Nick and Merrick were very good, making some key saves, but way too many odd man rushes. I think we gave up 8 rush chances on Friday with 3 or 4 more of on a neutral zone transition or counterattack, and I believe 5 rushes on Saturday. So we cleaned it up a little bit, but you know, if we're going to go to Denver and give them odd man rushes, it's going to be a long weekend. We have to play on the right side of pucks. It's been a big focus this week, and our guys saw it and understand it, and now we have to go out and execute it.
Yeah, that's a tough thing too. You're trying to get players to play more offensively and up tempo and with pace, as you like to say, and that means with speed. And yet they've got to know when to do that and how to make sure that defensively they're doing their job as well, and especially in a neutral zone. And that's a tough thing sometimes. It takes a change there. It takes a lot of coaching and a lot of practice work.
Yeah, a lot of reps. And, you know, there was 2 areas that really got us. You know, like you said, you know, we encourage speed and skill, but you have to make the right reads. And so when we're going on an offensive rush, if you don't have an advantage, and this is where I thought one of the areas we struggled in this weekend, is making a smart play. We put it behind the D's heels, set up our forecheck, and make them go back and retreat back on pucks, play 200 feet from our net. But we had too many guys challenging guys one-on-one. Michigan Tech has a strong D core, good skating, and they play you very tight. So it's a quick read. Hey, if I've got speed and time, I've got a chance to maybe look to make a play. You know, otherwise right now it's behind their heels and we're playing there. So we didn't read that quickly enough and allowed some transition and some rush chances, which really hurt us.
Yeah, and it sounds like a simple thing to do, but in the speed of the game, it's not always that easy. We've talked a little bit about the great play we're getting out of JT Henke through the 2 games against Michigan Tech. He was offensive player of the week in the WCHA. Merrick Mittens came up real big for us on Saturday night, and a number of other players I thought played pretty darn well for us this weekend. You sat out Kyle Chatham, the senior, on Friday night, but he played really well, I thought, on Saturday when he got back into the lineup. Fresh legs, of course, but he does a good job defensively, and he clears the zone pretty well. And I think you got to sing some praises of a guy like Jake Hand this season, too. He's been so much better. I guess he's healthier, but he's been a lot better player this year than he was last year.
Yeah, we probably expected this from Jake last year as a sophomore. He came back. He was the best shape of his life. He was ready. He was playing at a very, very high level. and then suffered two different injuries that cost him weeks and months early on there, and never kind of got on track from there, which is difficult to do. You know, it's such a game of confidence, and when you miss time, when you're out injured, it is a challenging thing to do. So he's played very well. There's still a couple small areas away from the puck where he can continue to improve, but the line with him and Diego and Gage Terrell has been very strong for us. They're drawing assignments against the other team's top lines, but also have been one of our most consistent threats offensively. But again, they were part of that group. You know, our best players have to be our best players, and they have been for the most part, but they have to play the right way 200 feet. It just can't be about creating offense and cheating to offense. They have to be great defensively and responsible, and that's an area that, you know, again, we've really spent a lot of time on this week, of playing on the right side of pucks.
You know, there's so many guys on this team. We talk about ice time, that Cuglietta line and the Hanke line. They see a lot of ice time, and certainly if you're playing with that crew, either one of those lines, there's no complaint about getting enough ice.
Yeah, well, you meant, and those guys in particular, Diego and Gage, not only 5-on-5, they play heavy minutes, but they're both power play guys, they're both penalty kill guys, yeah. And they've done that, really, those two in particular, since they've been here. You know, we've got a little bit better balance. I think we're a little bit deeper in our PK rotation this year, which has been a big focus. Brendan McKay has come in and is doing a very good job in the penalty kill. He's winning some faceoffs. You know, Hampus Eriksson has got a little bit of penalty kill time, but he's very good on faceoffs, so he's a guy we're trying to get more experience out there, because he can win draws and get a clear. You know, Nenendahl's doing a better job on penalty kill this year, so he's eating some minutes there. So, you know, you definitely try to have an approach where you're careful with minutes, and that's the thing we track during the games. Every game afterwards, we get a report on the shifts and the length of their shifts and their total ice time. It's something we want to monitor, and then we certainly adjust our practices based on needs for recovery and freshness, things like that as well. And again, going out to Denver, you know, you're playing up at altitude, a long day of travel, so it's something we've tried to be cognizant of this week, to shorten up practices a little bit so we're fresh and ready to play in a challenging environment.
You got a new athletic trainer working with hockey this year too. Talk a little bit about her and her background, and she's going to be important on the trip this weekend, because she's the one who's going to be pushing the water and the staying hydrated and making sure you're taking care of yourself on this trip.
Yeah, we certainly rely a lot on that position, along with Terry Mitra, our strength conditioning coach, in terms of rest, recovery, nutrition, things like that. And here's a big one. And, you know, you mentioned hydration. You're jumping on a plane. You know, very challenging to maintain hydration through that. Playing at altitude, that'll be new for this group. We've never been out to Denver and had to play at altitude. So Natalie, you know, will be a big resource for us in terms of rest, recovery, diet while we're out there. All things that are a little bit easier to control when you're on the road. When we're at home, we don't have as much access to make sure guys are getting the rest and the nutrition that they need to perform. So again, we'll use everybody, all our resources, to make sure we're prepared that way.
We return home in a couple of weeks' time, first week in November. Anchorage will be in here. It'll be a lot of fun to get back home, I think, for the guys, because four straight road games are tough, especially when it's Denver and Michigan State. And those are big non-conference series, too. The RPI gets affected by that. You know that Denver and Michigan State want victories there to help their RPI, and certainly the Lakers do as well. It's a little tougher when you're on the road, but it'll be good to get home that first weekend in November and get back in front of the Laker Legion and the hometown fans.
Yeah, it is important. And you look at Mankato going out and sweeping Boston University this past weekend. You know, Bemidji, a couple nice wins there. Obviously, Tech at the icebreaker. So a much stronger start to our non-conference schedule as a league. Very critical. And now it's our turn to do it. I know last year, I think we were the second best record non-conference in the league. That was with only two home games and four road games. So yeah, it's our chance to go out and represent the league and help out the RPI. And again, just a great opportunity. You know, this is moments that we told the guys on Monday that, you know, as coaches, we're so excited. You know, we wish we were on the plane already heading out there. We wish we could play, but these are moments that you really enjoy as a player. You look forward to playing in games like this.
You know, the fans got an opportunity to see the 3-on-3 in overtime on Saturday night too. A lot of talk about that after the game. That's something that's difficult. It's not something you spend a lot of time working on in practice. You don't work 3-on-3, etc. You have to kind of talk to your guys. Tech has a little more experience there and a lot of speed. They're a very fast team, so you really had to match up and be very, very careful with the puck in that particular period.
Yeah, and I thought I didn't have any issues. Again, we talked Tuesday on, and I thought we did a good job. The probably the most important moment of that is that opening faceoff. Mm-hmm. Puck possession 3-on-3 is what it's all about, and you know, you don't want to give that up. You saw us change. We had possession for a long stretch there, and you saw one of our, I think it might have been Nellis, ended up behind our net just standing there. We peeled two guys off to get a fresh legs out there, and then Anthony got off to get a set of three fresh legs. So it's all about puck possession there. They won the opening faceoff, so we had to take about a minute 40 or so to defend, try to retrieve that and get that puck back. They ended up getting one puck to the net that led to the goal where Sockerman kind of jumped on it from behind there. But three on three, full strength, overtime, you know, I thought we did a good job not giving anything up, and then, you know, working to retrieve a puck and give ourselves a chance. The other key component is line changes. You have to change when you're fresh. We had one guy went down on a line rush. He was too tired, couldn't get off, and then all of a sudden you're really behind the eight ball when you have tired legs out there against fresh legs, and that happened there for a moment as well. But, you know, good experience. I think it's an exciting part of the game. You know, I was for the change. I think we want to mirror the NHL as much as we can. It adds a ton of excitement to the game and to the event. And so, you know, I like it, and I'm not sure how much we'll see it, but I think it's good for our game.
Well, it's interesting for the fans, and it's fun. I think everybody had a good time with it. We did take a penalty in the 3-on-3 part of the overtime for jumping on a puck in the crease, which led to a penalty shot, and Merrick Mittens came up big.
Yeah, he was very good on that. I mean, the penalty shot for sure, but also that 4-on-3. You know, we had a chance 5-on-3 to win that game in the third period. Then they had an extended 4-on-3 to finish out that overtime. And, you know, you talk about situations you don't practice much, and that's one of them. You don't come across a whole lot of 4-on-3. But I thought our guys did a pretty good job overall. You know, they probably got two, maybe three grade A chances on it, which you're going to give up. But we were able to do what we wanted to do and take away Mark Ock and Mitch Ranke. We weren't going to let maybe they're arguably their two best players and Mark Ock, their leading scorer, beat us. We were able to do that. So I thought without a ton of prep, we were able to do a good job of forcing them to go away from their two most important players. Merrick's makes a couple key saves like your goaltender has to do, be your best penalty killer, and allowed us to get to that shootout.
A couple other players for the Lakers who've kind of stood out this season to me. Hampus Erickson's been really good as a freshman. He's a big kid, but he handles himself well. He's a better skater than I thought he'd be at his height, but he's fit in really well with this team. And, of course, a guy we've talked about many times in the past who's off to a pretty good start and is going to get only better is Max Humitz on that left side with Henke and Nellis.
Yeah, you know what? Hampus has been good. You know, we obviously brought him here for a reason. He's probably a little bit ahead of schedule where he thought he might be. He's still going to get a lot stronger and improve his cardio as he matures and gets more time with Terry and in our system. But he's got a great motor. He's a very high compete level. He's got a very active stick defensively. You know, he's been really strong on that power play unit with Anderson, Terrell and Cuglietta in hand. He's a great puck mover. He's got real good vision, moves the puck well, puts it tape to tape or right in wheelhouse. So he's played very well, done a good job there. And Max Humitz, you know what you're getting every single night with Max Humitz. Had a great freshman year for us. He's played well early on. Again, he's one of those guys where I thought defensively against Northern could have done a little bit better job. But on tack, you saw those tracking habits, playing on the D side. Probably our best forward overall in terms of being good on both sides of the puck. And guys will have to follow Max's lead that way.
All righty, we're out of time here this morning. It's Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Damon, thanks for being here. Good luck at Denver. We'll do this again next week.
Yeah, great talking Laker hockey any day, but certainly on this Wednesday for us recording it. Have a great Thursday, and go Lakers.
All righty, that's Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400.
You've been listening to Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. Brought to you by H&R Block and Parker Ace Hardware. Join us again soon for another edition of Laker Hockey Talk on ESPN 1400. WKNW, Sault Ste. Marie's sports leader.